Hi, welcome back to the Growth and Jams podcast. My name is Saul and I'll be your host here today. I'm joined by good friend Katie Tucker to discuss several things. We talk about independence and her individualism, travels and what she's learned as a result of them, losing and gaining friends, and then we end discussion with some music suggestions, book suggestions, and life advice. I hope you enjoy the show today. Katie, welcome. Thank you so much for being here today. It's a pleasure to have you. I'm so excited to talk with you, to share with the world some of the things that you've learned and how you've grown as a person. To start, just tell us a little bit about who you are, what you're doing with your life, and yeah, just background information.
Hi, I'm Katie. Currently, I'm living in Austin, just doing my thing. I'm in school. I go to St. Edward's. I'm technically a senior, but like a semester behind, but I have about 30 hours left, so I'll be done soon. And then for the most part, I'm just looking at my garden, what I'm going to do next with it.
That's very exciting stuff. On the note of that garden, I think it's pretty unique that you have one, and it's a perfect jumping place to get into it. Something that I think of when I think about you, or when someone talks about you, is just your independence and your individualism. I think you are, in the best way possible, unapologetically yourself. Why don't you talk a little bit about where that comes from for you?
So I would say I was definitely independent in high school, and I would say that comes from mostly my dad was like a homebody, and I was like this energy ball that wanted to like go do things all the time. So I kind of surrounded myself with friends that like we're down to go adventure and take our cars and like not tell our parents and just do whatever we wanted, but really safe, obviously. So I think it started there. And then also my brother is super independent too. So he was like a good role model to see. Like he would just not tell my parents where he was. And then he would go out and have like the funnest day and then come home and have all these stories. And so I was like, you know what? Why am I just sitting at home? Like I have a car. I should just go out and do whatever. And then I moved to Austin, and it was like a completely different reason. So I moved in with my best friend from high school, Rail. And then within the first month of living with him, he got a girlfriend. And this girlfriend didn't like me very much. So she didn't like that me and him would like go to the mall or like go adventure around Austin, like blah, blah. So basically, I just kind of moved to a city on my own is kind of how I looked at it. And I got tired of just sitting at home. So I would go out and meet people or go do whatever I wanted without anyone, you know?
Yeah, that's awesome. I definitely commend you for that. I think your uniqueness and your individualism really shows as well, like in your hobbies. Like, share just a couple of those so people get a better idea. Like, one of the first things that comes to mind is rock climbing for you, but like you have several others.
True. So I joined the climbing team. That was basically, I've just been climbing things all my life, and I didn't know that there was a sport out of it. So I tried out and I made the climbing team. I'm no longer on the team just for like personal reasons. Not like COVID hit, had to quit, you know?
Yeah.
So now I'm on the soccer team, the girls'
nice
club soccer team. Yeah. So I play soccer now. And then let's see, gardening. I made my first organic garden this year, like above ground in hay bales. And you're probably wondering how I got the hay bales in my tiny car. Yeah. So I had to put hay bales in my convertible, and there was like hay flying around everywhere and people were like honking at me. But yeah, I do that. I like to paint. I like to read a lot. I'm really into photography too. I like to travel. I like to do arts and crafts. I like to build things. My dad just bought me a drill for Christmas.
That is incredible. Yeah, yeah. I think you seem to be kind of hard to pin down or box in, which I think a lot of people box themselves into, like, I'm really good at this one thing and I'm only going to do this one thing, or like, I have these specific things that that's all I do. Have you ever, I guess, experienced like people trying to change you or getting you to conform to their ways, whether that be friends or just acquaintances or family members?
Yeah, I would say family for sure. Like, they're just like, what are you doing? Also friends, but I feel like I'm really not misunderstood, but by friends, but they'll be like, how are you so chill with just like going home and doing nothing or finding something to do? I guess they're more amazed or amused that they're like, you can go home and just have like such a fun time.
Yeah.
And yeah. And I'm just like, bro, I don't know. I just entertain myself, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's really good. You mentioned traveling. I also associate traveling with you just because you do so much of it. I guess to start, you can talk about your recent trip to Hawaii and spending time there and what that meant to you and what you've learned from that.
So it kind of was like a trip that blew up, I guess. So, and the original plan was that me and my friend Blue, a college friend I made, were supposed to go to Switzerland. And then COVID happened, and like, we had been planning this since, I want to say like May. And then we were like, COVID's going to be over by Christmas break. We can go to Switzerland, whatever. So I was supposed to go to Hawaii first just to visit her, because she was like, you have to come here, you'll love it, it's so amazing, like, I never want to leave, blah blah. And I was like, okay, that's a lot coming from a girl that has also traveled the world. So I was supposed to go during Thanksgiving, and then the whole Switzerland thing and like Europe trip wasn't gonna happen. So she was like, how about you just come for winter break? And I was like, okay, I'm down to go there for winter break, just a 2-week trip. And then when she was talking to me, it was like, I want to say it was September. And at that time, they had quarantine. So she was like, I don't know what you're going to do if there's still quarantine. Like, you're going to have to stay at home for 2 weeks. That would be your whole trip, blah, blah. And I was like, you know what? I'll just come for longer than that. And then I planned my trip 2 weeks before school was out. So my plan was to go there, be quarantined, do my finals, and then have time to spend with her. So I also wasn't wasting time. Like, I was doing school and I was busy. Yeah. But then it ended up that the day after I was scheduled to travel there, the quarantine started. Sorry, I lost my train of thought. The quarantine started. So I didn't have to quarantine at all. I was supposed to go for, I want to say it was only a month, like 4 weeks. And then I was there, and school got pushed back 2 weeks for COVID because we didn't get a spring break. So I ended up just staying almost 2 months.
Wow.
But it was seriously amazing. I tried not to look at Google photos before I went, because I'd never been to Hawaii. I had never been to this island. She was telling me all these amazing things we were going to do. And like, it's the prettiest place she's ever been in the world. And so I'm like, this place has to be amazing if she's saying this. So I didn't look at anything. And then I got there. I flew in, several hours of travel. I literally traveled with my duvet cover. So I looked like an idiot in the in the airport. And then it was dark by the time I got there. So I saw a little bit. Like, she took me to this little beach. And then we ended up having to wait at the airport to take one of her other friends, like, to her house. So we didn't get to adventure the first day. And just seeing it the first day, I was like, this is nothing I was prepared for. Like, this is way more than what I ever expected. And then after that, the next day, she had to go to work and she left me her car. And so I was just driving around, like, my eyes were huge. It's so pretty there. The people are so nice. It's so safe.
And which island did you go to again?
Oh, I went to the island of Kauai. It's called the Garden Island.
That's incredible, because I think I've been to Hawaii, but I've never been there. I've always wanted to go there, but that's, if I'm correct, like, the least Americanized island, correct? Or like touristy island. It's very much still kind of free range and just like tons mm-hmm. of wilderness and very secluded and isolated still. Is that the case?
Yeah, you can't build a building taller than a coconut tree. So there's no like skyscrapers. There's not a lot of resorts. There's only really resorts on like the south side mm-hmm. of Ireland. And I don't even think that's the prettiest part of Ireland. So it's really cool.
Yeah.
It's just locals everywhere. They do have a Ross. That's what they have, a Ross and a Costco, and they have like a tiny little mall. But other than that, it's local healthy huts and markets, and everyone goes to the farmer's market on the weekend. Like mm-hmm. it feels like you honestly travel back in time.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so amazing there.
It really just is the definition of like island time there. It just seems so relaxed, and everyone's so content with not, you know, living so fast paced.
Mm-hmm. No, exactly. Everyone's so kind too.
That's so incredible. I was jealous seeing the pictures. I miss traveling a lot, and definitely haven't been to like any islands in a very long time. Would you mm-hmm. say that coming back was hard for you in any way to like readjust to that high level of production and work and school and just the fast paced life here?
I would say no, but for the reason that it felt like I was in a dream. Mm-hmm. So coming back, it was like, this is your life. This is everything. Mm-hmm. Like, this is your bed. This is your house. This is your car, blah, blah. And then looking back, even like 2 days after I was back on mainland, I was like, was that real? Was mm-hmm. I really there? Like looking at photos, I'm like, it is so beautiful. It's just, it just really felt like a dream.
That's incredible. I'm so glad you're able to have that experience. And especially for that long of a time, like that's so crazy to me to like travel and be away from my house for like that long. But that's awesome.
No, I guess it kind of helped because I stayed with my friend, and then I also worked on an organic farm. So it was like a complete switch up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's very cool. I guess you can share, if you could share a little bit about some of the other traveling you've done, maybe some of the most memorable trips that you've taken and what you learned about yourself or about other parts of the country or world when you did do those travels.
I would say the biggest thing that I learned is like, first when I went to Hawaii, they're like, they don't like white people, like blah, 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 because that's kind of like the minority there. And I was worried. But then when I got there, I was like, the only thing you have to be is kind to people. Like if you show up and you're kind to people, they're not going to be these evil things that like everyone portrays them as.
Yeah.
So I would say that that's like my biggest thing, just to be kind to people. Whenever you're in their place of living, just be nice to them. You don't have mm-hmm. to like demand things, just listen and be kind to people.
Yeah.
I would say that that's what helps me travel, or just like in real life.
Good skill for real life too.
I would say one of my most memorable trips was, so I worked for this company that had our Christmas party in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
So the flight to Vegas was paid for and the flight back was paid for, but me and my friend wanted to go to Cali really bad. So it's only like a four and a half hour drive from Vegas. So mm-hmm. we rented a rental car. I'm not going to say how, but we rented a rental car, and then we went to San Francisco. So that was like an 8 hour drive. And then we stayed in the car for 2 days there. And then we drove to LA and we stayed in a car. And that was one of the craziest trips. I remember going to Target and getting a little mattress pad mm-hmm. so we could like sleep in the car. And then at night we would just go on Zillow and look up really, really expensive houses. And then we would go and park in front of them and then sleep in front of their house.
That's funny.
Yeah. So that was one of the most memorable. So it helps whenever your brother lives in Vegas, because that gives you a reason to travel even mm-hmm. more. So I would say a lot of my trips to Vegas to see my brother, and then we would always make a trip to Cali or to some national park, like where I visited him. And then I recently went on this super long road trip. It was, before going to Hawaii, it was my longest vacation. It was mm-hmm. 10 days. That was so fun. Definitely super memorable. I don't even know how we did it now that I think about it. We flew to Vegas, and then we road tripped all the way to Seattle.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. I think Carissa and I this summer, it had been our plan to do this road trip for like the last 2.5-3 years, but to go from here to San Diego and then all the way up to Seattle and then all the way to Banff, Canada, and then all the way back down, which is, I don't know how long that's going to take, but it's a lot of driving. And
Wait, you're gonna drive back?
Yeah.
Oh my God, see, I'm so thankful that we flew back. But I would say like a good 3 weeks, 4 weeks.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. That's gonna be so pretty. I feel like no one really talks about the coast of Oregon, but it's so beautiful. Like everyone always talks about Cali, but I would say Oregon is so beautiful. And then the lakes, and when y'all get to Washington, let me know. There's my brother's best friend lives there, and he told us about this place called Party Rock. And it's like this huge rock that you can cliff dive off of. And the water was so warm compared to the coast. So it was really amazing. That's awesome. Somewhere where you can actually swim.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. I guess one last question on the topic of travel so that we don't beat the dead horse. But where does like this desire to travel and this travel bug come from for you, would you say?
So growing up, I literally never traveled. The furthest I had went was Amarillo. So my family, like every Christmas break or summer, we're always just at my grandparents' house in Lubbock because my other grandparents live in SA. So we would take like multiple trips to go to Lubbock. And then we just never really traveled. I remember we were supposed to go to Disney one time, and then my mom like hurt her back at work, so we didn't end up going. And my dad's not the biggest travel person. And so this is really sad, but I remember I would make itineraries online, and I would go downstairs and I would print them out and give them to my parents. And my dad would literally just look at me and be like, no, like we're not going. And so I was like, I know it's really sad, but I guess it just built up in me. And then as soon as I was 18, I started looking into it, and I would find cheap flights places, and I'd be like, what is my dad tripping? Like traveling really isn't that expensive. Like you find a cheap flight, you go and it's cheap, and then you like travel and you find a place and you're just there for a couple of days, and then you come back and you go back to work again and makes more money and buy another ticket. But I would say it definitely came from not traveling all my life. And then my other thing is with college, you have a lot more time. So like you have a whole spring break, and like you obviously you want to go somewhere. And then I guess it started with Colorado. I would just go there and go snowboarding, and I just realized that you could go there for maybe like $300, like cheapest, like $300-$400 trip. And I was like, that's so doable to go snowboarding for like 3 days. So it just really started with a lot of free time. And then now, like the reason why I travel so much now is because I know in like a year or 2 years, I'm going to have a real job to where I can't travel. Like you get 10 days off a year, like, and I'm going to have to use those obviously for like Christmas and stuff. But yeah, so that's why I try and get as much traveling in as I can now, because I just really know that the real world is going to be like, nope, you can't travel.
That's awesome. I'm glad that you're able to do that and that you're going out and seeing the world after spending so much time just in Texas. It's it's awesome.
Yeah.
But I guess to segue, so with all things in life and in college specifically, I think a lot of people gain and lose a variety of friendships. Why don't you talk a little bit about outgrowing some friendships and some of the struggles that have come with that, I guess?
I think it's pretty natural, obviously, to outgrow people. And I would say one of the things that I struggled with was like beating myself up about it. Like I knew and they knew like we're not as like close as we were before. Like everything's not the same. Like, but I would just beat myself up. I guess I have a hard time letting go of people, especially with so many memories. So I would say that another struggle is like thinking of the memories. Like sometimes I'll sit here and I'm like, damn, I wish I could like hang out with this person. Like there's all these good memories, but then I'm like, it's not the same, you know? But I would say just learning to let go of people and like, like no attachment. Whenever they're supposed to be in your life, they'll be in your life, and just focus on that. focus on like what's in front of you, what you do have, the people in your life. They're meant to be there.
Yeah, definitely. I think one of the hardest things to get past for a lot of people is the idea of having history with people. Mm-hmm. And like they've been here X amount of years or for so long, but you have to take it at face value for what that relationship is in the present, not what it's been in the past or like how long that relationship has survived. And I think that's really hard for people to do. I've had a hard time doing that with some people as well. But yeah, it's great that you're able to not beat yourself up about it as much as I think a lot of people do. And to definitely just move forward and continue to grow from those friendships lost and gained.
Yeah, no, exactly. There's, I mean, I guess I just use what they've taught me to keep going, you know?
Yeah.
Because I mean, you gain stuff from everyone, you know?
Definitely. I think I've asked you some great questions and learned a lot about you. We've shared a lot about some of the things you've learned, something specific to you, some general things. This can be an area where you can share general advice, anything that you want to cover that you feel that we left out that would really help to describe who you are and what you've been through. Pretty much just anything. It's open to you at this point.
It's a lot of pressure.
Music suggestions, book suggestions, anything, honestly.
Oh, I have some good books, I guess. Have you ever read Ishmael?
No, but I have heard of it.
Yeah, you should definitely, or anyone should definitely read that book. I'm really into like spiritual books, I guess, and like The Prophet and The Alchemist. And
oh, The Alchemist is my mom actually. That's so weird that you say that because my mom asked me the other day when the power was out in San Antonio for like 5 days and we were all just staring at each other trying to keep warm. She asked what my favorite book was, and mine is The Alchemist, and it's hers as well. And I've read it, I think, 6 times, and she said she's read it like close to 20 times.
Wow.
That's great that you say that because I think it is a book that literally everyone should read because it's so applicable. And like every time I've read it, which I'm not a big fan of like rewatching shows or rereading books, but with this book, every time I read it, I get something completely new out of it and learn something new about myself. So yeah, that's a great suggestion for sure.
I love that. You have me beat. I've only reread it twice. Actually, twice, and then I listened to it on audio one time while driving.
Nice.
So I need to get with it. Let's see. I would say for music, whenever I switched to Spotify, my whole life changed. I feel like it was only about a year and a half ago or something. I've gained thousands of new artists. I'm really into, I don't even know the type of music I really like. It's like alternative, lo-fi, hippie, but kind of like upbeat all in one. Let's see. I guess I could find some suggestions.
Yeah, I've actually definitely heard that from people that have switched to Spotify as well, that it's great for finding new music in a way that Apple Music is not, which is really cool. I really want to switch, but I have a hard time thinking about transferring like 20,000 songs from Apple to Spotify. So
yeah, I actually did that.
Definitely sounds like a time commitment.
No, I paid $5 and I think I did it all within an hour. It was like 4 a.m. one time. And I was like, oh, wow. I'm just so tired of Apple Music. Yeah, like this one's called More Apple Music and then there's 50 hours worth of music. This one has 207 hours. But yeah, I guess they don't have like an algorithm the way that Apple Music does. Because whenever you go into the radio on Apple Music or something, which is how I find a lot of music, it's the same songs you already have in your in your library. So it's like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
Or it's just songs that don't even make sense to be in that category.
Yeah, definitely.
I really like Arc Patrol. I don't know if you've ever heard of them.
I have not, but I will check them out now.
I've been really into Hippie Sabotage.
They are incredible.
Yeah, that one's a classic, though.
I don't even know how to label their music either, but it's just great.
I would say Beats?
Hippie?
Yeah, I don't even know how to say this one's name. Gala Matthias. Do you know who that is? He has that. Here, wait, let me show you. He has that really big album with this album.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he's like the one that makes the beats on it, but he also like makes music now. So him, James Blake, it's classic though. I like Ocean Alley. Do you know them?
No.
Nope. I like Sweeno.
I know that one.
I like Snake Hips.
Also know that one. Very good.
Yes, very good.
This is kind of like a random plug, but do you know who Travis Barker is? The drummer from Blink 182?
Yes.
So probably like the best drummer of all time in my mind. But he's recently started doing like a lot of collaborations with hip hop artists and helping them to like put out rock hip hop fusion albums. And I thought it would be kind of weird, but it's actually really good. And I actually am not a huge fan of their music, but now after listening to these albums, I was like, these are really cool. Machine Gun Kelly and him came out with an album, and Trippie Redd and him came out with an album. And they're both like, I don't know, they like took me back to like what I actually really liked about rock music. But now it sounds like modernized, I guess. I don't know. Really cool.
See, I saw someone on their Insta story post about the Trippie Redd thing. And I didn't really look into it that much. But now that you say that, I'm like, wait, that's kind of weird. But yeah. I'd be down to give it a listen. If you say it's good.
It is good.
And then they're just Trippie Redd. Pegasus. Is it that one?
It's called like...
Oh, wow. They literally made a whole album.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's called like Pegasus versus the Shark, which is a terrible name for an album. But... Yeah. Oh, Neon Shark versus Pegasus. But yeah, it has a feature from Chino Moreno, which he's the lead singer and guitarist, I believe, for Deftones, which is like a really, really popular rock band from like early 2000s era. Yeah, just really cool to see. Like, I like a lot when there's fusion like that of different genres, like crossover and stuff.
True. I'm excited to listen. I don't really know what to expect, but we'll see. But
yeah. there's no more suggestions or general advice or anything, I think this would be a good place to wrap it up. What do you think?
Yep, I agree. I agree. All right. Yeah, I can't think of anything else. I guess just be nice to people. It starts like at home.
100%. Be kind.
Yeah.
Be respectful. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that. All right. Well, thank you so much again, Katie, for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and I'm glad that I'm able to give you this platform to share. And I think you have a lot of insight into the world and some valuable experiences. So yeah, just thank you for being here and keep being you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Growth and Jams podcast. My name is Saul. We are hosted by 1718 Media. If you enjoyed the show today, please feel free to give it a rating in the podcast app. Also follow us on social media at Growth and Jams. Thank you for tuning in.